the season, almost 26 minutes past three. It's Monday afternoon and we talk about women's health a lot here on the Lynette Fay Show, and we've talked about the subject of postnatal mental health many times. It's a live and very serious problem here, and postpartum psychosis, the most extreme effects of postnatal mental health, will affect approximately 35 women a year in Northern Ireland. And today a group of local mothers and representatives from the MAS, that's the Maternal Advocacy and Support Project, have again called on politicians to deal with the shortfalls in postnatal healthcare. And Claire Anderson from the WRDA Women's Resource and Development Agency, she's also the Maternal Advocacy and Support Coordinator with the MAS, and she joins me in studio, and beside her is a mother who wants us to tell us about her experience, but who would like to remain anonymous this afternoon. So hello to both of you, and thanks very much for coming in, because I realise it's been a busy day, Claire. So what happened today and why was the event organised?
Today we were launching our MAS Matter flyer. So this flyer, we were launching it at Stormont today. It's very much focused towards healthcare professionals. So it's from our own lived experience, what needs to change in the healthcare service. So WRDA are the lead partner in the MAS project. It's delivered in partnership with 8 women's centres, 6 in the Belfast and Lisburn area and 2 in Derry. And across the project, the mums have given this feedback. A big part of the MAS project, as well as providing the maternal mental health peer support, it's also providing women with the opportunity to give feedback about their experience in the health service, very much with the aim of improving service in the future. So we're highlighting in this flyer the key issues that have just come up again and again that the women want to see changing. So better communication, and that can be to women and also between healthcare professionals. A variety of scenario of situations when a woman might have an underlying health problem, when the baby isn't well, just a variety of experiences. But the feedback was about how communication could have been improved, and anxiety increased during that time when there wasn't good communication. Compassion was another key thing, that it actually just makes a big difference, and that this does happen sometimes, but that it wasn't across the board was the feedback from the mums. Judgment came through very strongly, and that can be a sense of judgment. It could be for being a single mum, an older mum, a younger mum, having a disability. But women, there was a strong sense that women felt judged. So it's really encouraging that reflective practice for healthcare professionals. And we really understand the huge pressure that the health service is under, but we just want them to see it from the perspective of the women, because it's about really improving care. Also, continuity came up very strongly, consistency, the importance of seeing the same person. And one of our speakers today, Suzanne from the Belfast Trust, was talking about the continuity of care, which is being brought into midwifery, which is so positive and can hopefully address some of this. And also signposting to charities. A lot of women have said, look, they know that there's a lot of support out there, but they weren't told about it and they weren't given that information when they needed it. So that being so important too.
So you these are all really, really important issues, the communication, the compassion, judgment, consistency, signposting what services and further support there is out there. And I wonder, Claire, you know, going up to Stormont today, obviously a big deal for you all, but we don't have a sitting assembly at the minute. So to whom do you make this plea to improve our perinatal mental health services?
Yeah, we need politicians back to work. We launched a campaign for a mother and baby unit. For that to, you know, we really need that to be pushed forward. We'll keep pushing for that to happen and for the funding. We worked with Action and Postpartum Psychosis on that and handed in an open letter to Robin Swan. We also need funding to be agreed. So it's so important, and the women want that. You know, they do feel let down by the political situation, but they still just want to keep highlighting and raising awareness that MAS matter, that these issues are important. But this flyer in particular, you know, there were a lot of healthcare professionals attending today, which is really good to see, that people actually want to hear what the MAS have to say. So this is although we need extra services, mm-hmm. we need funding for projects like MAS, long-term funding, because the community and voluntary sector in reality are providing a lot of the support on the ground. But this is also to encourage reflective practice and the healthcare professionals who are working with women, GPs, health visitors, midwives, take these issues seriously.
And would you also say that wider society could be doing reading these this leaflet as well and taking these issues seriously? Because I do wonder sometimes, as women, we're just supposed to get on with it. Women have been doing this for however many years. Why are you complaining? What's the issue now? And the baby sometimes is the priority. Well, the baby obviously is really important. Women are almost expected to forget about their own physical and mental health and get on with it. So is there a lot of work involved in breaking down that idea?
Absolutely. I mean, we need to just keep reducing the stigma. And the more we raise awareness, the more we campaign, it makes it easier, hopefully, for women to come forward. But yes, it's a societal issue, societal awareness. And I think that comes across very strongly from the women, that they don't want women to have experiences like they have. They want better services for women in the future. Mm. So it's about getting that message across and making it easier for women to disclose if they're feeling unwell, and knowing that the support's there and that there's nothing wrong and that they're not alone and that they can get better.
Well, we have one woman in studio this afternoon who has very kindly agreed to tell us her story and her experience. So I wonder, we've heard from Claire about what women are and mothers are telling the MAS, the Maternal Advocacy and Support Project, about their experiences. But how did you know yourself that you had postnatal depression?
I didn't initially. I think it was just one of those ones, you know, I just got myself into that much of a little funk that I was like, this isn't normal and I shouldn't be feeling like this. And, you know, obviously it was COVID at the time, so you just kind of, like you say, you get on with it, and that's what mums have to do. You put yourself to the back burner and you get on with looking after your kids.
Mm-hmm. So you had your children just before the pandemic, was it? Just
four weeks before the lockdown, the very first lockdown hit.
Yeah. So what was that like when the world closed down? You're sitting there with twins and you're looking at these wee bairns. You had all these plans in your head for what you were going to do, how you were going to spend these months, and, you know, what was going through your mind whenever you heard that actually, no, your plans have to be put on hold?
I think, you know, it was like, well, nobody kind of knew what this COVID was. And, you know, we didn't expect it to last as long as it was. And we thought, oh, it'll be over in a few weeks. A few weeks turned into a few years. We're still getting over it. But like you say, yeah, we had all these plans and swimming and all these lovely mummy and baby groups we can go to. And none of that happened. And we mostly done everything over Zoom or on Facebook Live whenever there was a music session. You know, and there is that major mum guilt that, you know, that all those experiences were taken away from my wee twins. But, you know, they're here, they're happy and healthy, and thankfully they don't know any different.
Yeah, they are more resilient than we give them credit for, but it's the mother that we need to look out for.
Yeah.
So how did you know, what did you do to try and help yourself then when you realised that you were in that funk and something wasn't right?
Just initially reaching out to my partner initially and just telling him, you know, openly and honestly, look, this is actually how I'm feeling, and I know it's not okay to be feeling how I'm feeling. And I was just told him, you know, I wish in my head I just want to go away and do whatever I need to do and nobody's going to know. And, you know, he just encouraged me to kind of reach out to the doctors and reach out to the GPs and my health visitor. But I didn't really get a good response from them whenever I did reach out.
So what happened?
So when I initially reached out, I was at a pretty low point, and suicidal thoughts and everything were there. And after maybe 100 odd phone calls getting through to the GP, the receptionist on the other end asked me, was it important? Was my phone call important? Well, yes, my mental health is important. I'm not sitting there with a knife right now, but I really need to speak to somebody. This is not normal how I'm feeling. So she said, okay, a GP will follow up, and 48 hours later, a GP did follow up.
That's an awful long time when you're in the place you're in your head and your mind, and thankfully you're sitting in front of us now. I would just say GPs, mental or medical practices are all under pressure at the minute. They'll say they're trying their best what to do, what they can in very strenuous circumstances. But what you're saying is when a plea about mental health is made, you felt it wasn't really taken seriously.
No. I think obviously, yes, they are under pressure and everything. But I think when you phone up with something like, you know, I'm having mental health problems, I'm having suicidal thoughts, you know, maybe put that on like a wee urgent call list, you know, maybe not 48 hours later, or, you know, certainly keep me on the line.
Mm. Was that as bad as things got for you?
Yeah, that was at a fairly low point for me, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how did you get the help you needed after that?
That when the doctor did ring me back, she obviously had a chat with myself, and it was just decided, you know, medication was the way forward, and she arranged a mental health assessment, and it was obviously just diagnosed with severe depression, anxiety, which was affecting my mental health, and they referred me to services in my local area that would be beneficial for me.
And how did you feel at that time? Was it, you know, had you any, how aware were you of what was going on and what you were feeling, and that it was postnatal depression, or was there a bit of a distance that you felt like this was an out of body experience?
Yeah, I knew it just wasn't me, and I've never ever felt like that. Like, I knew I shouldn't be feeling that. I should kind of, I was always okay when I was with the girls, like with my wee twins, and it was whenever they weren't there that everything crept in again, and I just didn't want to feel like that. You know, I wanted that help and that kind of support.
Mm-hmm.
And again, as much as they were telling me, okay, this is maybe where you could go, they were signposting me to the right places, it was up to me to have that courage to actually go into that place, you know, and take that step to get me better.
Which is hard depending on where you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did you find out about the MAS project then?
Again, it was through the mental health assessment team. They had recommended that I get in contact with the MAS group, and they arranged for the organiser of that group to phone me, and she phoned me within a couple of hours of getting off the phone. That was like at the end of November 2020, and I didn't actually go until maybe the first few weeks in December, because it took that much courage to kind of be okay. Like, I can leave the girls are going to be safe. I need to go and kind of work on me. So it took that courage to go.
And in those initial stages when you did go, and good on you that you did make those steps, because it's not easy. What was it like when you began to talk to people and realised that it wasn't just you, there were other people who feel like this as well?
Yeah, I remember the first day walking in into the centre. It was just so warm. It was friendly. It was inviting. And you kind of knew at that point you were in the right place. You were in the safe space. And as much as everyone's story is different, we were all there for the same reason. You were all experiencing different issues.
Mm.
And it was just somewhere that you didn't, like a lot of places I find, you know, you have to leave your problems at the door. MAS group's completely different. You can go in, have a warm cup of tea, have a chat. There's absolutely no judgment, just other women that actually listen, support, laugh and cry with you. And, you know, from being a part of the MAS project, I actually have mummy friends who actually want to be with me and my wee girls. You know, they have friends from going to the wee creche in the centre, so I know that they're safe in that wee centre and I can go and work on me. And, yeah.
You seem great now. How are you doing?
I'm okay. Like, obviously, everyone has their good and bad days. And I don't think I'll ever be 100%, but certainly from, you know, being with the MAS project, I have the right steps that if I'm feeling in a low place, I know what to do, and I have friends that I can go to and can support me.
And looking back, what would have helped you when you were in the position that you made the initial phone call asking for help? What would have really, really helped you at that point?
For me, it would have been more helpful if I was treated with more respect and understanding from that initial call with the GP receptionist. Like I say, especially after it takes maybe 100 calls to get 100 times calling to get through before someone answers, it might have also been helpful to actually speak to a GP in person, because a year later I actually still haven't been seen in person by a GP, but I can still get my medication and everything.
Okay.
You know, obviously COVID and other protocols, you know,
yeah,
it's not always easy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously they are always busy and things, but I think when it's something as important as like your mental health, I think it's important to actually see somebody in person.
It's another aspect of society where people are crying out for help. And there are so many cases, so many different parts of life where help is needed, and the health service is under huge, huge pressure. And Claire, listening to the story there, you know, I'm sure you hear that story a lot. But it's great that the women know that Maz is there for them. But I wonder also about partner support. Sometimes, you know, we watch the woman suffer and don't know. I'm talking about partners maybe, and wider family circle as well, mothers, aunties, sisters, brothers, and they don't know how to help or what to do. And that feeling of helplessness doesn't help anybody.
Yeah, I mean, there are a variety of experiences throughout the Maz project, and obviously a lot of the women have had their babies during the pandemic, so they've had increased isolation where they haven't had family support, which has further exacerbated how they're feeling. And then also we have the cost of living crisis, so there's so much extra pressure on women. The women's centres provide so much support to women on the ground, and so that's why we're really highlighting the power of peer support, the Maz project itself, set within the holistic environment of the women's centres, works so well, and the need for long-term funding for our project. But also, I guess it's just highlighting at Stormont today, you know, women give really powerful lived experience accounts, so courageous and brave. It's one thing speaking within a group, but to stand up, but they just want to make a difference.
Yeah.
And highlighting these key themes and how they had an impact on them, and how if these changes were made, it could make a difference for women going forward. So I just want to thank everyone who was part of today's event, the amazing women. We also had some really powerful speakers. As I mentioned, we had a speaker from the Belfast Trust, but also the Mental Health Champion, representative from the Mental Health Foundation, Action and Postpartum Psychosis, and our partner Aware NI. We'll have a similar event in Derry on Friday to launch the flyer in the Western Trust.
Okay, and briefly, can I just ask our mother here, when Claire mentioned talking at Stormont, you know, in public, you're now on radio, although it only seems as the three of us in the room, but there are other people listening to your story today. How did that make you feel? How did you feel about sharing your story?
I think if my story can help one person, you know, it makes all the difference. And like, the Maz Project really has been such an important, vital resource in my mental health journey. And, you know, I just really, obviously, you know, yes, we need like, you know, the government to kind of get back together and get that funding sorted and everything, and you know, so that can continue and help support other women. But I think, yeah, there's just so much power in a woman telling her story.
And how do you feel about the stigma attached to postnatal mental health?
Yeah, I think it definitely needs to change, and I think sometimes there's such a generational belief that, you know, women have to take on everything, and it's the woman's job to do this, and it's the woman's job to do that. But, you know, we do need the support as well, you know. And yes, we might just keep calm and carry on, and, you know, but, you know, just check in on us and make sure we're okay, because sometimes we're not. I always used to describe myself as that wee duck. You see, all nice and calm on the surface, but the wee legs are flapping like mad underneath just to stay afloat.
I'd say a lot of people can relate to what you've just described there. Most definitely, it could be their experience also. Claire, just finally, we've talked about the urgent need for better perinatal mental health care numerous times in this programme. Northern Ireland still doesn't have a dedicated mother and baby unit. You know, you've had this event at Stormont today. How do you break through? How do you break through and get to the next level?
Well, in terms of the mother and baby in it, we know that a strategic outline is going to be ready March 2023. That's the response we've received. So we will just be pushing for, you know, an urgent timeline towards the opening of an MBU and a plan to be put in place and action to be put behind that. In terms of the community and voluntary sector, we also need perinatal mental health peer support within community. We know that there is funding for the specialist teams and that, you know, many of the trusts are being set up currently. I think four of the trusts are taking referrals. So that is all in progress. But there would only be a small minority of women that can access that support. So we will just keep campaigning for this, these improved services within primary care, for the mother and baby unit, for long-term funding in the community and voluntary sector, for maternal mental health peer support.
And even the fact that MAS is based in the Belfast, Greater Belfast area, and Derry, there's a huge portion of Northern Ireland that's not serviced at all.
Absolutely.
So that will be key going forward also.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much to both of you.
Yeah, thank you.
And we need to keep having the conversation. So throwing this out to our listeners today, what was your experience of perinatal mental health, your partner's experience? You can text 981771 on WhatsApp at 03030805555, and you can email lynette@bbc.co.uk. And if you've been affected by any of the conversation we've just had, you can find more resources at BBC Action Line. That's bbc.co.uk/actionline.